Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Friday, May 27, 2016. I am Jason Powell. On the site right now, Jake Barnett's live review of the WWE SmackDown television show from Thursday night. I also want to tell you that .NET members are listening to the .NET Weekly Audio Show. With I hosted the show along with Brian Fritz of BetweenTheRopes.com. He joined me for the first half of the show. He was going to be there for the whole thing, and then the phone just started ringing off the hook. And so I ended up doing the back half of the show, flying solo, just sharing a lot of the things that I was hearing about the brand split at the time, a lot of different info than what I think has been put out there, at least certainly at that point. The members are also hearing Zach Zimmerman's audio review of the weekly NXT television show, as well as Will Pruitt's audio review of the Lucha Underground television show, and much more. If you are interested in membership, you want to hear that .NET Weekly audio show, you want to hear the television reviews, you want to hear that roughly 5-6 hours of audio content that Will Pruitt and I did with our annual WWE roster evaluation, all you have to do is visit the main page of ProWrestling.net. Once you are there, you'll see the sign-up area. In there, you will find three different pricing options. Membership rates start at $7.50 for 1 month. That will get you in the door. If you want to commit, you can save yourself some money by taking advantage of the six-month offer. Or if you take that annual option, you bring that price all the way down to an average of $5.50 per month. Again, all the details available there. Great timing to jump on board with that roster evaluation that we did, as well as all the .NET Weekly audio content that I mentioned earlier with Brian Fritz appearing on the show, and just all this brand split talk. A lot of fun stuff. One of the things that I mentioned during the .NET Weekly audio show on Wednesday is that there are some rumblings that it may not be as simple as Shane McMahon running Raw or SmackDown and Stephanie running the other. I do want to say up front that I'm pretty skeptical about any news related to the roster split, even when it comes from my own sources and reputable websites right now. It's not that I feel like anybody is intentionally putting out bad information or sources are giving bad info. It's that this is all still so new, and I think plans are going to change frequently between now and July 19th when SmackDown officially moves to Tuesday nights. Hey, I'm sure some of what's being discussed this week in WWE is going to stick. Some of it's going to change. Keep that in mind. That's all I'm telling you. Having said that, I don't know if WWE has committed to anything on this, but there's definitely talk that Vince McMahon likes a dynamic between Shane and Stephanie on one show, and that they may leave the other show to someone else. One name that has popped up is Daniel Bryan. And I don't know if it's set in stone, merely being discussed. I don't know if they've even reached out to Daniel Bryan about this. Not sure. Went into some little more detail on the .NET Weekly show about this. But I don't know how Bryan would do in that role. But it's an interesting idea that would bring one of the company's most popular performers back to WWE television, and ideally give viewers a break as far as just limiting the McMahon family saga to one weekly television show. I think if you want to, let's say he would be in charge of SmackDown as a general manager. Well, if you want to make that more of the wrestling-heavy show, or kind of cater to more of the NXT audience with that show by any chance, he's certainly a good guy that you can do that with. So it's an interesting name. And again, I don't know if Daniel Bryan is, if it's set in stone by any means, but that's certainly a name that has come up. The belief is that WWE is going to end up going with two world champions. So you wouldn't just have the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. You would have, you know, kind of back to what it used to be when you had the WWE Champion and the World Heavyweight Champion, however they want to call it. You know, I don't know if they'll bring back the old title belt, if they have a new belt in mind. I'm not sure about that. That is certainly the discussion now. Again, all of these things can change. I like the idea of one world champion. Now, having said that, back when before they merged the titles, I was somebody who just said, you know what, leave it alone. Because, and it sounds a little hypocritical to like the idea of one champion now. My thing was basically that no one seemed to be complaining. You know, we'd get an occasional call or something on a live broadcast, livecast, or ProWrestling.net Live about from someone, but it just didn't seem like there was a real demand there. The audience had pretty much accepted that there were two champions, so I was kind of in favor of just leaving it alone and not messing with it. Once they went back to one champion, I said, leave it alone. Don't mess with it. I think there's a way to get there, though. And I see a definite direction that this could go in. I mean, as far as, like, this makes a lot of sense. And I want to remind you, this is not based on any inside information. This is just me looking at the lay of the land and speculating. My guess is that we get Roman Reigns as the champion of one brand, Seth Rollins as the champion of the other. And I don't know how they get there exactly. It could be a very conveniently timed controversial finish at Money in the Bank, their upcoming match, or just sometime before the split occurs. You know, they obviously want, if they're going to do two titles, they want that second title to be meaningful. They don't want it to be like when Eric Bischoff just handed Triple H a title. Seth Rollins is a guy that if you do a controversial finish, you can also say he never lost the title in the first place. It's going to be a little too convenient, you know, if they take that approach that, oh, this controversy just happens to come up at the same time they're doing a brand split. Yeah, I mean, but I don't know that they care. Now, the other interesting part of this, we have the Money in the Bank match coming up. And we know all but one of the participants now through SmackDown. My guess is that one of the six men already qualified for the match is actually going to win it. And his name is Dean Ambrose. And I'm not endorsing this. I'm just telling you, looking at this, if they were to go with two champions, you'd have Reigns and Rollins. WWE could play up the possibility of Ambrose cashing in on either one of his former Shield members. And, you know, his current babyface role, I think, would lead most people to believe that he would go after Rollins. Ambrose is a very good talker. He's a wild card. You know, that's kind of his character. They can really play that up. He can convey that. And I think it's certainly possible that we could get that Dean Ambrose heel turn or with the cash in on Roman instead, you know, instead of just the obvious, well, he's going to go after Seth. We'll see. I mean, it's Rollins or the Ambrose character is just kind of in a funky spot right now. There's not a lot going on with him. The feud with Jericho didn't go as well as I think they'd hoped it would. And not that I'm endorsing the idea of turning him while there's less interest than usual. I'd like to see him get heated up again. But this could be a way to do it. He wins Money in the Bank, and all of a sudden there's that question of what will he do? Who will he go after? And he can make it very clear on night one. I mean, I still lean toward Kevin Owens being the guy that I would have win Money in the Bank, but this isn't a bad idea. You know, if this is a direction they're going in, is to, you know, Reigns has one championship, Rollins has the other, and then their old buddy, Dean Ambrose, ends up with Money in the Bank. It could make for some interesting television. We're just going to go all over the place today. There's been a lot of speculation about whether WWE will book some sort of this is fan speculation, just like an entire draft special for the network, you know, like the NFL does, and or the NBA, you know, they just have those long drafts. And I guess I got to say, I would be shocked if the draft didn't take place on Raw, because it's a big ratings hit. But, you know, they can continue the draft for diehard fans on the network. Like, if they want to show you where a bunch of guys went, instead of just, hey, go to WWE website right now to find out where everyone else went. Well, if they want to continue it somehow, some way, they could do that on the network and try to get the best of both worlds. You know, you got to assume, like, the average fan out there isn't going to want to sit through a 3-day marathon or anything. Not that WWE's draft would take nearly as long as the NFL's. I mean, they control it. That's a nice thing. There's, you know, they don't have to have the same time limit the NFL does. But, you know, how much interest would there be once you get through the mid-card, even? You know, you start to get into that lower mid-card, and then you start getting into the guys that are on the bottom of the ladder, and I just don't know how many casual fans are going to have interest in that. But I do think there are enough diehards who would pay attention to that, would watch something like that. I think there is a way to have an intriguing WWE draft that plays out like, you know, like I said, the NFL or NBA draft, and do it on the network. But, you know, the main problem is Vince McMahon is not a big sports fan. I just don't know that he's going to find the entertainment value in booking that type of a draft. I think it's an interesting concept. I think it would appeal again to some of the hardcore fans who subscribe to the network, but I will be surprised if they end up taking this type of approach. My guess is that we get the draft lottery again, rather than a scripted version of a draft with, let's say, it's Stephanie and Shane in charge, and, you know, they're picking against one another. I don't know that you're going to see something like that, but I think they should consider doing something extra on the network for this. I think there would be some appeal. I think this is even though the draft lottery is so wonky and that it just, you know, so randomly picks this guy, and you could end up with two completely, you know, one super mega brand and then one completely, you know, just a disappointing brand, so just totally lopsided. I mean, think about it, and it's silly, but I guess you have to suspend your disbelief is what they would tell you about that. I'm not a big fan of the draft lottery system. I like the other, hey, let's script a real draft back and forth. I'm not saying take up 3 hours of Raw with that. I'm not, because I think people would lose interest. But I think there's a way to do it where I think, again, you can kind of get the best of both worlds. Maybe you do a lottery for what they would consider the top names. Again, working on with the idea that Shane controls one, Steph controls the other. They agree who their the top 15 or however many names they want to do on Raw. I guess you'd need an even number. And those wrestlers are distributed via the draft lottery system. And then you go to, the actual draft occurs. And it's not even something they need to do live from the building, obviously. You don't want to keep those fans sitting there watching a draft. I don't think that would please too many people that would go to the draft whenever it would occur, or, whatever draft night turns out to be. I assume shortly before the split occurs, obviously. I mean, Joe Louis Arena, Detroit, I think, is the one that has been rumored, but I don't even know if there's anything concrete on that yet. And so, but the point is, they're going to be into the draft lottery. I don't think they're going to want to stick around and watch you do this network special where you go back and forth drafting Darren Young and the Ascension. I just don't think there's going to be any interest in that. But if you kind of you can tape it ahead of time, you can do it behind closed. You can make it seem like it's live and do it ahead of time. Or if you really want to do it at the building, you just do it backstage somewhere. There's a way to do it, but I think I'm wasting a lot of time talking about it because I don't think they're going to spend as much time on it as you and I would. I think there's a lot of fun things they could do with this, and they'll probably just take the most simplistic approach, which is the one they've used many times in the past. One of the really fun things about SmackDown going live on Tuesdays is I think it's going to be fun just to see how long it takes the second brand to surpass the flagship show in terms of the ratings. Hey, Raw has a name value. SmackDown has the benefit of not running against pro or college football on Tuesdays. I mean, I think there might be one big college game once you get to bowl season or something like that that would fall on a Tuesday, but they don't have, there's not Tuesday night football, and so that's going to hurt Raw when that time comes. We start getting into September in the regular season. They're not going to be dragged down by being 3 hours, and I really feel like it's probably only a matter of time before this happens. I mean, Raw, of course, has the benefit of being that well-established flagship show that people know. I mean, that's the one. I mean, there's still people out there that don't watch SmackDown. They just don't care about it. Even if it's a better show, they get their fix watching Raw, and they see enough recaps on Raw of SmackDown, and really, they know nothing matters on SmackDown as far as it's not like you have to see the show. You can just catch up by watching Raw. It's not that they don't ever do anything there, but it's not like they're just going to leave you hanging. Well, that changes now, obviously, and not that they're not going to show you anything from SmackDown on Raw or anything like that, but now it's gonna be relevant. It's gonna feel relevant again, and that's really cool. And I really feel like there could be some interesting ratings battles, just between the two shows. With the just the way things line up, you would think that if all things were equal, people would still be watching Raw, but they're just not. Especially when you consider Monday Night Football, and then Raw has the advantage of airing after network specials those weeks too, the night after when interest tends to be high, where by the time SmackDown rolls around, do people want to watch 2 more hours of wrestling after they watched, 3 or 4 hours, depending on if they watched the kickoff show on Sunday, and then 3+ hours of Raw on Monday? So it's interesting, but I do think that SmackDown, there will certainly be times when SmackDown does a better number than Raw. That's my strong belief. And hey, this is never going to happen, but I can't tell you how much I wish Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn would have the balls to just turn over one of the shows. I'll just say SmackDown because I don't see Vince ever giving up control of Raw. I don't see him giving up control of either. But I just wish he would. I wish they would just turn it over to people who have a unique vision. I think Vince McMahon talks a really good game about how much he likes competition. He'll create it for his employees, and this will probably do some of that. But he's not willing to take the simple step of creating his own true competition internally because he's so hands-on with everything. And that's something I go into detail on in the .NET Weekly audio show. This again, this isn't going to happen, but Vince and Dunn, I think would have a really fun challenge on their hands, and I really think it would bring out the best in them. They would stop being so complacent if they saw that, wow, somebody else has a different vision and for production, for one thing, and there's just a different way of doing things, and it would just give the entire company, I think, a completely new vision and look, especially on Tuesday nights. But I think Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon would react. I think they would force them out of their formula, just out of their comfort zone. And they've really been in it since the Monday Night War ended. You know, and I saved this for late in the show because, again, it's not going to happen. But we can at least dream about how cool it would be if Vince McMahon showed us that, well, he still has the grapefruits and the confidence in himself and his vision to face true competition, even if it does come from within. I think it's one thing to let Triple H do his thing with the developmental territory, you know, NXT, because I know some of you are thinking, well, let's Hunter do it. It airs on the network. You know, it's something completely different to take on the challenge of facing someone or a show, I guess. Just someone who has fresh ideas with a comparable roster on the same network. And I mean, this comes up when as soon as news of the draft came out, people immediately, well, what if Vince gives control to Triple H and does this and that? Well, listen to .NET Weekly, and you will find out why people within WWE are going, yeah, that the odds of that happening are insanely low. Don't get your hopes up for that. It will be very interesting to see how TNA and Pop TV respond to WWE moving to SmackDown on Tuesday nights. You know, in some ways, it's kind of fitting that on the same day we find out that SmackDown is moving to Tuesday nights, we also found out that Impact drew its best viewership number on Pop TV on Tuesday nights. They can't catch a break. It's unreal. Now, the question, I think, is which night TNA is going to move to. And I know, yes, they could stay on Tuesday nights. And they may. They may try this out. But they can hope that, like, with SmackDown airing 7 to 9 Central, Impact could air 8 to 10 Central. They're missing out on an hour, you know, and then hope that there's enough people that watch SmackDown that will immediately turn the channel to watch the last hour of their show. They tried kind of a similar approach in the past with WWE Raw when they aired the hour leading up to the old two-hour Raw. You know, they've tried things like that, and it hasn't worked. And what happens if SmackDown has an overrun like Raw does? Let's say SmackDown goes 2 hours and 10 minutes even. TNA is giving up like 70 minutes of their two-hour show and then hoping that SmackDown viewers are going to turn the channel to watch the last 50 minutes of theirs. I don't think it's worth the risk. And if for anyone out there, well, they could always move it to the start time to right after SmackDown would end. And even if there's an overrun, they only miss 10 minutes. Problem is, you're taking that last hour out of primetime. And so I think, you know, that's very unrealistic as well. So they are in a tough spot because moving to Wednesday night means they're asking pro wrestling fans to watch Raw on Monday for 3 hours, SmackDown on Tuesday for 2 hours, and then watch their show on Wednesday. And then you factor in if there's a pay-per-view by anyone on Sunday night. Wow, I mean, that's a lot of time they're asking, and some people will do it. But Wednesday, also the night that NXT and Lucha Underground air. It's going to be the night that, unless something changes, the WWE Cruiserweight Classic is going to air. And a little bit different with, you know, Lucha Underground does about 100,000 plus, you know, a little over 100,000 viewers. So it's not that it's a huge deal, especially considering that their show would run, if TNA just moved nights but kept the same time slot, they wouldn't be opposed by NXT or Lucha Underground as far as, like, the live airing of NXT. And I do think a lot of people watch NXT at their leisure on demand. There's some that can't wait and will watch it live as it airs. That's, you know, for damn sure. But I think there are people who certainly are people who are watching on demand, and with DVRs and all of that also. But I was never a fan of Impact airing on Wednesdays for some reason. I don't know. There was just something about it. It just didn't click with me. It was like Wednesday. I don't know. It just didn't feel like wrestling night for me. But it makes more sense then I think moving to Thursday nights and hoping that the SmackDown audience will find them. And that may be the approach they take. I don't know. But do they really want to air opposite those NFL games again? Do they want to air opposite the broadcast network's biggest nights? And I know the whole sampling thing, well, more people are watching, so there's more people turning the channel and they'll find you and all this. I don't know. And please, don't even try to sell me on the idea of Impact returning to Friday nights again. I you know, hey, I think they did okay numbers on Fridays. It just, they felt completely irrelevant. Yeah, it's just because it would air on Friday, and then nobody was really buzzing about it on Saturday. It's the weekend. Everybody's doing their thing. So I think returning to Fridays would be a mistake. So I'm guessing Well, again, they may try to, catch that SmackDown audience and then maybe have an immediate replay. Maybe they get popped to go back to that now. If they want to air, stay on Tuesday nights. I think it would be, I think they're going to need to get the hell off of Tuesday nights, unfortunately. I think things are starting to click with that product. It's been 6 months of good booking, and it's a shame they need to, but I just wouldn't take the chance of, well, hopefully they'll watch our second hour. We know we're not going to get anyone watching in the first hour, but hopefully they'll watch in the second hour. And hopefully WWE SmackDown, even though it's live, doesn't have an overrun now. That's a lot of hoping. And so I think they're going to have to move nights. And Wednesday does make the most sense to me because, again, you're avoiding college football and then those loaded broadcast network lineups. Hey, finally today, everybody, please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast. Take a moment to rate and review us on iTunes. We would love 5 stars, folks. It's always appreciated. You are helping spread the word about the podcast. Of course, if you can just give us a quick retweet when I send out the link for this particular episode, that is always appreciated. You can follow me on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. A big thanks to everyone who has already taken the time to do one of those things. You are helping spread the word about the site, and I really, really appreciate that. Not just the site, but the podcast, of course. And hey, everybody in the U.S., have a great Memorial Day weekend. It's a 3-day weekend here in the United States. I'm not sure. Well, chances are I'll be by on Monday. It just kind of depends on my holiday weekend, too. There's a chance with the holiday that I won't have an all access show on Monday, but we'll wait and see. I'm not quite sure. But have a great weekend. Be safe out there. Have some fun. All that good stuff. Take care.